I'm going to read to you. We all say read together, don't we? But we don't. We're going to read some very well-known words that however many Christmases you've lived through, you will have heard these verses time and time and time again. But it's our prayer, isn't it, that as we read them yet again, that we won't just let the words go over our heads. You know, if we'd learnt these in the Authorised Version, we could probably still quote them. But we want them to be fresh and real to us this morning as we read from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1 and verse 26. Father, as we read your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will make it fresh and real and vibrant and living and speaking to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Since the day the angel came, it seemed that everything had changed. The only certain thing was the child that moved within, on the road that would not end, winding down to Bethlehem. So far away from home. Just a blanket on the floor of a vacant cattle stall. There her child was born, and she held him in her arms. As she laid him down to sleep, she wondered, "Will it always be so bitter yet so sweet?" And did she see there in the straw by his head a thorn? And did she smell myrrh in the air on that starry night? Then the words of ancient seers tumbled for centuries. A virgin shall conceive, God with us, Prince of Peace. Man of sorrows, strangest name, O Joseph, here it comes again. So bitter, yet so sweet. And did she see there, in the straw by his head, a thorn? And did she smell in the air on that starry night? And as she watched him through the years, her joy was mingled with her tears, and she'd feel it all again, the glory and the shame. And when the miracles began, she wondered, who is this man? And where will this all end? Till against a darkening sky, the sun she loved was lifted high. And with his dying breath, she heard him say, Father, forgive, to the criminal beside, today with me in paradise. So bitter, yet so sweet. And did she see there, in the straw by his head, a thorn? And did she smell in the air on that starry night? And did she hear angels sing not so far away, till at last the sun rose blood Now, the problem we have with Mary is that either she's made too much of, or she's not spoken about at all. You know, in some traditions, Mary is made a great deal of, and far too much. And sometimes in order to escape from that problem, we just don't mention Mary at all. You know, we say, well, Mary, yeah, she was the virgin, she had the baby. But in order to restore fallen humanity, God himself came into our world as a baby. Emmanuel, God with us. And he shared our human condition from the beginning. He came into a virgin's womb. Just get your head around that if you can. God came into our world, not as a man, not even as a baby, but as an embryo, inside the womb of a woman. That is mind-blowing. I can't understand that. I can't get my head around it, but that's what it says. He shared our human condition from the womb, from birth, from dependency on his mother, and in parental authority. He was made like us in every way, the writer to the Hebrews said, except for our sin. There's a line in the Stuart Townend song, which has just come into my mind, that says that the hands that created the world clung helplessly to his mother's breast. Wow. He was a baby. He needed to be fed by his mother, looked after by his mother. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised that the Savior would be born of a woman. He would be born, said Isaiah, of a virgin. And Paul wrote to us in Galatians that he would be born at just the right time. And so in order for this birth to take place, God needed to find the right lady in the right place at the right time. You know, I don't know about you, but I spend about 6 months getting ready for Christmas. I'm one of those annoying people. You know, it comes to about June and I start thinking it's time to do the Christmas shopping. Some people start Christmas Eve, I know. But you know, God, if I can put this reverently, didn't just say one time in eternity, oh, I suppose I'd better sort this out. He knew what he was going to do. Which is why we have all the prophecies in the Old Testament of where the Lord was going to be born, how he was going to be born, that he was going to be born of a virgin, that the kings would come from the east. So many things prophesied because God had it all planned out. And God the Father entrusted not even a woman, a young girl, with providing the earthly home for the incarnate God. And Mary was that girl. And she's an inspiration for all of us, both women and men. There's sparse facts about her. We don't know that much about her, really. We keep calling her a woman, but actually she was a girl. She was probably 14, 15. I don't know how many young girls you've got out there that might be 12, 13, 14, 15. She was from Nazareth, not a terribly important place. In fact, somebody once said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So, you know, she wasn't from the best bit of town by any means. She was a virgin. She was betrothed to a man called Joseph. And she had a cousin called Elizabeth, an older cousin called Elizabeth. But Luke tells us in this bit that we just read that she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her. Obviously, she knew Old Testament scripture. Later on, she sings a wonderful song, doesn't she? That we call the Magnificat. And it compares very much with Hannah's song back in the Old Testament. She knew her Bible, such as it was in those days. And when she sings this wonderful song later on, she can show what she knows about God. She knows that God is sovereign. She knows that God is her savior, and she knows that she is God's servant. Those are three wonderful things to know. That God is sovereign. That we've just been singing about his majesty. We've been singing about serving his majesty. We've been singing about his authority. God is God. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-loving. We look around our world and sometimes we wonder. But the Bible assures us again and again and again that God is sovereign. He's the mighty one. He does mighty deeds. And there might be rulers that think that they can get away with things. But God will win. Because God is sovereign. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? As we look around our own lives, maybe, our own families' lives, our own town, our own city, our world, sometimes it makes us wonder. It makes us doubt. It makes us think, what on earth is going on? But God is sovereign. He's sovereign in your life and my life, in your family's life, in your town's life, in our world's life. And Mary knew this, that she served a mighty God. But she also knew that God was her merciful Saviour. Do you know that God is your Saviour? Do you know that Jesus is your Saviour? Because you have put your trust in him. She says, he's merciful. He extends his mercy to all those who reverence him and come to him. He is my Saviour. Jesus is my Saviour. And I hope and pray and trust that he is your Saviour. So you can say, God is sovereign. God is my Saviour. And I am his servant. We just sang those words, didn't we? I don't know who chose them, but whoever chose them has been reading my notes from afar. I live to serve your majesty, is what we've just sung. Did we mean it? Or was it just words? We thought we'd better look as if we're singing it in case anyone notices that I'm not. I live to serve God's majesty. Is that true of me? Not just today, but tomorrow. Is it true of you? Not just today, but all next week and all next year. She knew that she was God's servant. I am the Lord's servant, she says. Wow. Those are very serious and deep words. And so here she is, this young girl. And I don't know what she was doing at the time. We always in nativity plays have her doing the dusting or brushing up the floor, don't we? You know, when the angel with the cardboard wings appears. You know. And the angel comes in and she's afraid, which you probably would be. And he says, don't worry, God's with you. You're highly favoured and you're going to have a baby. He's going to be a boy and you're going to call him Jesus. And he's going to be the king. And she doesn't doubt him, not like Zechariah, but she sort of says, you know, I may be from Nazareth and I might not be very old, but I do know how these things work. I'm not married. I've never had sex with a man, so I do know that it's not humanly possible for that to happen. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will give birth to God's child. I remember, I once said in a meeting, I said, well, she had to go and tell Joseph what was happening. And someone said to me, no, actually, she wouldn't have done. So I believe this lady because she's very clever. And she said, actually, because they were betrothed, which was more than an engagement, he was away, perhaps the other side of the village, preparing the house and getting ready. And she said they wouldn't have spoken to each other for the whole year that they were betrothed. Now, is that true? Someone can tell me or not. This is what this lady told me. So it would have been her parents that maybe would have had to tell Joseph. So she had to go and tell her parents. Then the parents had to go and tell Joseph and wait for his response. She knew that things were going to be very different. First of all, she was going to go and have to tell her parents. What are they going to say? In a society where those sort of things just didn't happen. Well, she could have been stoned to death for the sort of thing that shouldn't happen. Then she had to wait for Joseph's reaction. And Joseph knows that she's still a virgin. Joseph knows that they've never been to bed together. So, well, there we are then. What's she been up to while he's been at the other end of the village preparing the house? Is he going to believe her? What are the relatives going to say? What are the neighbours going to say? Her whole life was changed in that 1 minute when that angel said, you're going to give birth to God's son. She yielded herself to God, accepting God's will, even though she knew it would be difficult and costly. there would always be gossip. And there was. At 14 or 15, she was going to be pregnant. She was going to have to give birth. And she didn't know the other things that were going to happen. That her son would grow up to say, anyone who follows me is my mother. I mean, we all have to lose our children at some point to being grown up and going off on their own. But Jesus said, you know, my family, earthly family, isn't as important to me as my heavenly family. And those words that Simeon spoke, that a sword would pierce her heart. She didn't know that at the time, but she knew that it was going to be difficult. And she trusted herself to God. Sometimes God asks us to do things that are difficult, that are costly, that will change our lives forever in the most amazing way. And as we said, it's easy on Sunday to sing, I live to serve your majesty. It might be easy to sing, take my life and let it be, consecrated Lord to thee. Take my will and make it thine, it will be no longer mine. But when push comes to shove, when God actually calls, will we keep our promise? Will we be like Mary and say, let it be to me according to your word, because I am the Lord's servant. And then she goes to spend some time with her cousin Elizabeth. And she sings this wonderful song, the Magnificat. And then later on it's, well, we've got to go to Bethlehem. And they end up in the stable, which isn't the best place to give birth, I'm sure. And so many things happen. The shepherds arrive, three kings or the wise men, they arrive. And I just love the words that we read where it says, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, this girl, this young girl, she knew her scripture. She accepted God's will, no matter what the cost. She was a thoughtful girl. Thoughtful girl. And she learnt from her experiences of life. Isn't that what we need to do sometimes? Learn from our experiences of life. She learnt that Jesus was here to obey his Father. When he was 12 and he was in the temple, he said, don't you know, I've got to be about my heavenly Father's business. Yes, I'm going to be a carpenter for the next 18 years. But my heavenly Father, his business is what I've come here to do. And she learnt that. She learnt that obedience to her son was a very good thing. When they were at the wedding at Cana, remember they ran out of wine, big tragedy at a wedding, apparently. And you know, they're all rushing around saying, what are we going to do? We've got no wine, we can't serve them water, and probably didn't have much else in those days. And she said, I'll get Jesus. And whatever he tells you to do, you do. Now that's good advice. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Even if sometimes it sounds a bit odd. Go and fill all those jars with water and serve it out. Really? If Jesus tells you to do something, and you're really sure he's told you to do it, then do it. Because as we say, and as we often sing, trust and obey. Because that's the way that we're happy in Jesus. And Mary learned that lesson. As her son was growing up, he obeyed her. But now, she's saying, you obey him. She realizes who he truly is. The last time we read about Mary is in Acts chapter 1, where she's at a prayer meeting. She was the mother of the Son of God, but she still needed to trust him as her Savior. She wasn't perfect, she wasn't holy, She was an ordinary, devout young girl whom God had trusted with the birth of his son. But she still had to come to know him as Saviour and Lord. And it's wonderful, isn't it, that the last time we read about her, she's praying. Who to? Her son. She's praying. And all through her life, she discovered the truth of Simeon's prophecy, that a sword would pierce her heart. Mary didn't have an easy life. You know, sometimes we say, follow Jesus and life will be easy. Follow Jesus and everything will be wonderful. If you ever hear anyone say that, chuck them out, because it's not true. Mary had a hard life. All through her life, there was gossip. That's Jesus, the carpenter's son. But is he? You never know. There was always a bit of wonder about that. You know, she had to go off to Bethlehem and, well, you know, didn't have a proper wedding as far as we're aware. You know, where were? Always would have been gossip. But her mad son, even his brothers, called Jesus mad. There was family feuding. We assume that she was widowed quite young, because by the time that Jesus was dying, he entrusted the care of her to John. By which time, she probably would still have only been about 45. And she saw her son die in the most horrendous circumstances. This son that she loved, who she knew was the Son of God, who she knew was perfect, tried and beaten and crucified, but then risen again. But she kept on trusting. And one of Jesus' last thoughts on earth was to make sure that she was looked after. What about us? Do we know Jesus as Saviour and Lord? If you don't, it's a good time of year to do it. It's a good day to do it. To put your trust in the one who came from heaven to die on the cross, to be your Saviour. Are we willing to submit to his will? Can we truly say, I am the Lord's servant. May his will be done in me. The secret of a life of blessing, even if it's not an easy life, is to accept God's salvation and God's will with obedience and trust. So the question for each one of us this morning is, will we be a Mary? Amen.